All right. Over the past few months, we've been talking about getting closer to God. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Revelation 3:20. God has given us a clue there that He wants to be close to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why we're told in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God. I mean, what could be better than getting really close to God? I mean, you know, you hear people talking and they say, yeah, we're close, man. You know, with some friends of theirs or something. Do you know him? Oh, we're close. Hey, how close can we get to God? That's the place we want to be, is right by him, close to him. That's why Paul said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that can satisfy the spiritual hunger that God has put inside of us. There's a hunger in us that is there for a reason. It's there to draw us to Him. God made us to have a desire, a hunger, to seek something beyond this world, something beyond what we can see, and into the spiritual realm to know Christ, want to know Him. That's why Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We've seen that God wants us to slow down and get still before Him. And that's why He says, "And be still and know that I am God," in Psalm 46:10. It's only by getting to know God and to know Him in all His glory and majesty that the seductiveness of this world loses its appeal. That's how we see God for who He really is. God. Sovereign. The King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. The Lord, the one who, according to Psalm 135, does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and in their depths. It's a good friend to have. If you're going to be close to somebody, He's the one. Last week I talked about the fact that if we want to draw closer to God, we're going to have to be forceful in our pursuit of Him. We saw that being a wimpy, half-baked, part-time, lackadaisical Christian will never get us to the place that we want to be with Christ. You know, if we don't learn how to push through, it's just not going to happen. We saw that there are many who claim to be Christians, but they only have a half-hearted commitment to Christ. They won't stand against the worldly anti-Christian attitude of our culture, this culture that surrounds us, and instead, they don't stand up for Christ. So they won't stand against the evil or for Christ, but yet they claim to be a Christian, but they just want to sort of float through, and we don't want that to be us. That's why I was glad to hear something that was recently in the news, and I know many of you have probably heard about it. Maybe some of you haven't. I was really glad to hear that Hobby Lobby, a Christian company, stood up. You know, they stood on or for their Christian convictions and stood up against the federal government. It takes a lot of guts to do that, because you know what? This particular government that we have right now, when you take a stand for righteousness, they send everything out against you. They'll send the IRS, the FBI, the CIA. They'll send all their minions, all their lackeys, all the people that are doing their bidding, whether it's legal or illegal, to go after you, to make life miserable for you. We have a government that rules by intimidation right now. And yet this company, the president, a Christian man, his family's Christian, And their business is a Christian business, an outgrowth of who they are. And they don't want to be forced to provide things that will cause abortions, the morning after pills, the week after pills, abortions. They don't want to be forced to pay for that. Do you think they should? I don't. Should you? Should you have to pay for your neighbor who wants to go get an abortion the next morning? Is that your responsibility? Well, you are. Your tax dollars are paying for that. I think it stinks. So I'm glad to know that somebody has stood up. And that's our job. That's our job, too, to be forceful in the pursuit of God and His kingdom. We saw many different examples of how forceful Jesus, our leader, was. I'm not going to go through all them. That's on last week's CD that you can get upstairs if you didn't hear it. We saw that God wants to live His life through us. Christ wants to live His life through us as we continue His work on this earth. We're going to continue the work He began. And to do that, we have to forcefully advance the kingdom. That's why God tells us in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Luke 16:16 tells us that the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. Sometimes it's tough to get away from all the stuff that has held us back. In some countries, you really have to stick your neck out to become a Christian. We know that the Holy Spirit's given us power to be witnesses for Christ. We've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. That's His name for it, His word for it. Again, God showing that forceful action. He doesn't just say it's a nice book. He calls it the sword of the Spirit. We're told in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Sounds pretty forceful to me. God is expecting us to be proudly proclaiming the truth of His gospel, His word, and being the light that He has called us to be, not hiding behind the four walls of a church building. We saw what being forceful means according to God's word. It means to be energetic, earnest, tenacious, persistent, courageous, aggressive, taking the initiative, overcoming, pressing on, relentless, bold, desperate, intense, going forward against the opposition. Those are just a few descriptive words of what we mean when we say that forceful people are forcefully advancing the gospel of God. Those are some of the adjectives that describe how we should be. These are all traits that will push us past the mediocre, lackadaisical Christian life and into the realm of all things are possible. God's calling us to step out of our comfort zones and forcefully seek Him, forcefully seek His kingdom, pushing through all the distractions, all the obstacles, and learn how to get close to Him. That's where God is calling us to be at that point in our life where we just get tired of same old, same old. I will never answer that. When somebody says, "Hey, how's it going?" You'll never hear me say, "Ah, same old, same old." I don't want my life to be same old, day after day after day after day. You know, and if God is in our life and we're being led by His Spirit, can you imagine Hey God, hi Father, how's it going today? Ah, same old, same old. I just can't picture God. I can't picture Jesus when he's on the earth, you know? Here comes Peter. Lord, where are we going today? You know, strong and, you know, boisterous. And Lord, where are we going today? Ah, same old stuff. Ah, same old stuff. Where did we go before? Oh, we'll just do the same stuff again. That wasn't Jesus. We have to have the mindset that we are entering the battle and fighting the good fight. We have to determine in our heart that nothing is going to stop me from pushing in and getting close to God. Nothing. In the book of Acts, we know that Paul and others were eagerly, energetically, forcefully living their lives to the fullest as Christians, taking more ground for the kingdom every day. And now that torch has been passed down to us. It's our turn to now forcefully advance the kingdom of God. So today I want to look at some of those areas where God is calling us to be forceful in our lives. And the first place I want to look at will be entering the battle. Where we will be entering the battle, and what is actually going to be probably the hardest of all in this fight of ours. It's here where we are going to meet someone, the one person that every one of us struggles with, struggles against on a continual basis. And you know who that person is? It's us. Ourself. Self. Believe me, your flesh is not going to want to cooperate in your pursuit of God. We are going to have to force it to give into God, to submit to God, over and over and over again. Paul likens this struggle to a race. You ever watch a race? You see those guys out there and over the long, a long-term race, not a quarter mile or a mile, but more like a marathon. And of course, our life is longer than any marathon that's ever been run. But it's sort of like that in that you see people, you know, jumping out forward, and you see them falling back. You see others coming around, moving forward. There's this constant, you know, moving in and out. It's a race, and it's struggle. It's a struggle. It's tough. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Run in such a way as to get the prize. It just reminds me of a song I heard last night. It was is Ray still in here? Right, where are you in here? Oh, there he is, right there, Ray and Sandra. We heard a song last night. I went to Madi. I don't know if Nino and Madi are here, but their mom had their and dad had their 50th wedding anniversary celebration, and they had a mariachi band. I guess that's what you call them, right? Or mariachi? Excuse me, mariachi band. And hey, you know me. They sang this song called Besame Mucho. And it means to, you know, Ray's trying to explain it to me, and as he's explaining, he's giving me all these explanations, and then it just hit me, and I says, you mean like, kiss me like, it means kiss me, besame, and it means kiss me like it's the last time you'll ever be able to kiss me again. And I was thinking about that. I mean, imagine that. If you were, you know, saying goodbye to your wife or to your husband or to your child, and you gave them a hug or a kiss because you know it was going to be the last time you'd ever see them. That's how God wants us to run after Him. He wants us to be desperate for Him. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Even though everyone enters the race and runs, only one is going to get the prize. And so we need to have that desperate pursuit. Like it was the only race that there ever was in the world. And for us, it's the only race that counts. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Then what does he do? No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know what we're talking about here? Self-discipline. Forcing our body, to do what we know needs to be done, even when we don't want to do it. And how often does that happen? Every day. Paul uses the analogy of beating his body into submission. We have to find ways to force ourselves to submit to God, to get closer to God. Because it's not going to just happen. You know, we can be a Christian for 5 years, and then 10, and then 20. And maybe we start getting around the 30 and 40 year mark of being a Christian. And you know what? We might find that we are not as close to God now as we were 20 or 30 years ago. You know, we all have little sort of waves in our walk, but I'm talking about just overall in general, that we're getting further away instead of closer. God tells us to remember your first love. Get back to the way, you know, it used to be. Usually this involves some type of commitment on our part. Being committed to reading God's Word, being committed to praying, being committed to studying His Word. Getting involved in some type of ministry where we serve others and make ourselves accountable. You know, we're commanded to serve one another. And that same command, that when we serve one another, that means we have to be involved in some way to be able to serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We also need to be disciplined to attend worship services regularly, not just when we feel like it. We don't want to be the C&E crowd. You know what that is? The Christmas and Easter crowd. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." In Acts, in the early church, it says they met together daily. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to get involved in some type of small group setting, like a home group or something, where we grow in relationships and where we can allow ourselves to be known by other people and where we can grow in our giftings. Whether it's a home meeting or some other type of ministry, somehow or other, we need to get involved where it's a more intimate setting where we get to know people on a closer level. We need to make ourselves accountable to some of our fellow warriors who are also in this battle. If we don't do this, if we don't get connected in some way, then let me ask you, who is going to miss us when we get knocked down and disappear? Who will be there to lift us up? How can we expect others to call us when they never even got to know us? Those are the basic fundamentals of Christianity 101. Getting involved, serving, committing, reading, praying, studying, those kind of things. And the dumbest mistake we can make as a Christian, or in almost any other discipline, is to ignore the fundamentals. You ever hear that? Get back to the fundamentals. Get back to the basics. There was a group called 4HIM that used to have a song out called Get Back to the Basics. And, you know, we can grow in our walk and we can get into all the, you know, the studying and that. But if we get into all that studying and we start reading all these different books and all that, but we forget about the basics, about being connected with other Christians, about serving, about attending church regularly, about, you know, being involved with other people, building those relationships, being part of the body of Christ, which we've been called to be, connected to one another. Each one of you is a part of it, according to Corinthians. If we ignore those, what have we gained by just reading more and more if we're not walking it out and living it? How can we love God? What physical thing can we do to serve God and what we do is the way we want to serve God is by serving others. That's how we do it. We may not always like it. We may not always feel like doing it, but that is where the forcefulness comes in. We have to push ourselves sometimes to get involved, to stay involved, to go on the day when we come home and say, man, I'm just tired. It's so easy to just sit back and say, I'm tired. If everybody did that, nothing in the world would get done. Except those few people who never get tired. I wish I was one of them, don't you? I know there are some out there. There's probably a couple in here. You're just the go-getter that never gets tired. They'd have to do a lot of work then, wouldn't they? If the other 95% of the world just decided to go back and kick back and lay down and 5% had to go do everything. Paul said, I beat my body to make it my slave. I force myself to do what I know I need to do, is what he's saying. Our spirit within us is crying out for a deeper relationship to God. Who here has not said to themselves at one time or another, now think about this, Lord, I want to get closer to you. Don't you think everybody here, I would hope every one of you has said that at one point or another. God, I know I need to get closer to you. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. We sing those songs all the time. I hope that we recognize that cry of our spirit within us because it's there. If you have never felt or said that, and I'm completely serious here, if you've never felt or said that, you need to get a checkup because that tells me that the Holy Spirit is not operating in your life and you're probably not saved. I'm serious. If you have never felt that you want to get closer to God, that you only do this as a duty, and, you know, it's a burden and I don't really want it, and if that's how you feel, but you're just trying to be good, that's a tough, tough life. And the Holy Spirit is missing in your life, and you need Him. That's where our power comes from. Because the Holy Spirit, if He's in us, He always, always will want to draw us closer to God. That's His job. He's always pointing to God. The problem is that our flesh comes up with every trick in the book, every excuse in the book, every wimpy reason why poor little old me just somehow can't quite get closer to God. Oh, I have to, and oh, I need to, and I should have, and she did, and oh, he did this, and, you know, we can come up with a million excuses. I would be willing to bet that in your life, every one of us, in your life, there is an area that has been holding you back. And if you stop and you can think, you know, you could probably think of some thing, some way about you, some characteristic, some something that has been holding you back from that deeper, more vibrant relationship that you want with God. This is the area that you need to be forceful with, even violent with. It needs to be dealt with. We have to root it out. We have to overcome it. We have to deal with it forcefully until it's beaten down and kicked out. We'll have bully beat down. Beat that thing down. Then as we go before God and we humble ourselves and we get before Him, you know, guess what He's going to do then after we get rid of that? He's going to say, let me show you the next battle now. I can explain that by reading to you a scripture where I'm talking about getting rid of something, cutting it off from us. Jesus talked about it too. In Matthew 18:8, He said, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. Could you be more blunt? Jesus, could you say that a little tougher? Remember I talked about He's forceful? What about that? I mean, that's a pretty forceful statement. If your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Throw it out in the dumpster out back. I don't want to see it. Because it's better for you to enter life maimed and crippled than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus would never say that. He's only about love. Jesus speaks the truth in love. And sometimes the truth in love has to be very forceful. Now, obviously, I hope you know this, Jesus wasn't literally talking about us cutting off our hand. Your hand is not the sinner. I mean, if I went and stole something, and this with this hand, what good is it going to do if I cut off this hand? I could go steal with this hand. Right? I can learn to steal with my stubs. I can get somebody else to put it in my pocket. I can steal with my feet. You ever see a painter that doesn't have any hands? They paint with their toes. They put a paintbrush in between the toes. We'll find a way. If sin is in us, we will find a way, right? What Jesus was telling us there, and it was a very appropriate analogy, He's trying to tell us that no matter how close or how important or how special that something is to us, as special as like my hand, if it's harming our relationship with God, we need to deal with it so that it's gotten rid of. That's what He's saying. And He says it further in another area here, Matthew 19:29. Poor soft Jesus again. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now what He's saying there, just to make it very clear, is if you want to inherit eternal life and something is getting in your way, you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of or get away from your brother, sister, father, mother, wife, children, fields, or anything that's there if they're sending you to hell. See what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. What He's trying to tell us, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your hand, if it's your eye, if it's your foot, if it's your husband or wife or mom or dad. You know, I mean, that last thing in the world we want to do, and that God wants us to do, is have to, you know, ignore our parents or our wife or something. But if that person is going to cause you to go to hell because of how they are, what choice do we have to make? That person or God? God's trying to make this clear to us. Again, He doesn't want us to, you know, leave our family. That's not what He wants. Other places he tells, we're to honor our mother and father. We're to love our wife. We're to, you know, love our husband. We're to love our children, obey our parents. All these. So you know God wants us to be together. He's trying to make a point. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's something in our life that is harming our relationship with God, it needs to be dealt with. There's nothing sacred. There are no sacred cows. There are no, you know, special things that, oh, God will understand this or God will allow that. No, he's saying there is nothing. There's nothing that is allowed to stand between us and him. In other words, we need to forcefully deal with it. That's what he's saying. People, property, it doesn't matter. We start thinking, man, I don't have that kind of discipline. How can I stay away from my good friend who keeps causing me to go and do this? He's my best friend. Man, we were buds ever since second grade. How do we have that discipline to stand up, to do that? Well, there's a few things that can help us in this discipline. Number one is the Holy Spirit, the true source of power for every Christian. Once we begin to trust in God and His power in us, which is the Holy Spirit, then we find out that we are stronger than we ever believed was possible. It's God's strength. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. God's serious about this. He'll help us. He'll give us whatever we need to deal with whatever is holding us back from Him. In fact, discipline, or we can also call it self-control, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit is active in our life, just like on a tree, there's fruit that grows. It just naturally comes out of that growing, you know, entity, that tree. When the Holy Spirit is in our life and His influence is growing in us, like that tree growing and maturing, there's fruit that comes. And one of them is self-control or self-discipline. And when you think about that, self-control, what does that mean? I can now control this self, this flesh, this carnal man. That's what God is saying. With my Spirit, you can get a handle on this flesh. Another thing that will help us to grow in discipline is the support of the body of Christ. You know, God has put people in our life to help us in different ways. I shared a story the other night at the men's meeting. The Amalekites were enemies of Israel, and there was a big battle that was brewing. And Moses sent Joshua. Actually, God told Moses to tell Joshua to go down and fight the Amalekites. So David's down there fighting the Amalekites, Joshua's down there fighting the Amalekites. I knew something didn't sound right. And he's down in the valley, and Moses is up on this hill. And he's watching the battle, and God has used him now many times, and he had this staff. If you remember the staff of Moses, it represented the power of God, the authority of God. And so Moses watches the battle, and apparently things maybe weren't going real well at the beginning. And so we find that Moses lifts up his staff, the authority, the power of God, and all of a sudden, Joshua's winning the battle. Now he's getting tired. This battle went on all day long until the sun went down. They probably started early in the day, and it's going on all day long. And so Moses has to hold up this thing. So he's got two friends up there, Aaron and Hur. They pull up a chair for him. It was a stone. They get a stone and they set it down so Moses can sit down. Because he's getting tired. One holds this hand, it says, and one held the other. And they held his hands up then for the rest of that day so he could hold up that staff. And the war was won. Victory for the Israelites. And so we see that there was support there from those who God put in Moses' life. God, in fact, he told Aaron, I want you to be with Moses. Moses, I can't do this, I can't do that. Moses, Aaron will be with you, don't worry. He'll help you out. Well, God puts us in a body, his body, the body of Christ, so that there will be other Christians around us, so that we will have a support network. We'll have somebody that will say, hey, what are you doing, man? That's crazy. Or, can I give you some help? Or, hey, you want to come over for dinner? Or, I could help you do this, you know, if you can help me do that. Or, would you like to come to the Bible study? Or, I mean, and I could just keep going on and on and on and on. Hundreds of things that can happen as an interaction between different people when you're in the body of Christ, when you're mixed in with a bunch of Christians. That if you're not connected with a body, probably won't happen. So we have this support network. It's like being out on the battlefield in combat. You know you're fighting for your country, but the thing that makes you go on out there beyond yourself, the thing that will make you run right out into the fire, you know, into the enemy, you know, firing spree, into bullets flying over, there's only one thing that's going to make you run out in the middle of that, most of the time. And it's not because you're thinking of your flag or your country, but you're looking at your brothers, your fellow soldiers, those who are out there, maybe a friend of yours is laying on the field. So you're willing to go out to rescue them, to fight for them, to share in the burden, the load of the battle. That's why we need to be part of the body. And there's another thing. There's no more powerful discipline builder than the Word of God. Getting that word into us, the truth of God, the understanding of how things are, how they work, and the reality of things, knowing about the Holy Spirit, knowing about, you know, the body of Christ. In reality, all three of these are all the power of God coming, you know, to help us be disciplined from different directions. One is the Holy Spirit, the other is God's Word, which, when you think about it, was written by men who were led by the Holy Spirit. So it's God's Word. And then the other is the people of God who are also being led by God. So it's actually all God, but it's different ways that he's coming to help us. The Word of God is alive. It has the power to reach right down inside of us and point out those things inside of us that need to be dealt with, that need to be changed. To cut through all the clutter, to cut through all the garbage, and speak right into our heart and tell us what's right. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. That word will help us to learn discipline. Each one of those will help lead us to victory, and each victory will build upon the last victory. And each one will then make us stronger and stronger as we begin to walk in the power and the strength of God. And we see that it begins to flow then more freely through us. Once we begin to get a handle on this self, then God can open up more doors of opportunity so that we can once again, forcefully advance his kingdom to be salt and light in the world. In the world, to be... As we begin to get more control over ourselves through God's Word, his Spirit, and with the help of his people, we begin to see how important and how precious it is then to get close to God. And we'll find this same forceful strength that will help us to propel right through all those obstacles, all those heartaches and hardships and all the clutter of our life that we face daily, and get right to God. See, we can't hardly even get to God if we can't get past all the garbage in our life. So we have to have this discipline to help us get through that so we can get to God. And there's only one way to pursue God, and that's with everything that you got. With everything that's within you. Running after Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I could once again say, energetically, earnestly, tenaciously, persistently, courageously, aggressively, pressing on relentlessly, boldly, desperately, intensely, taking the initiative and going forward despite the opposition. That's how God wants us to go after Him, to get close to Him, forcefully going after Him, forcefully pursuing God. Jesus gave everything He had to have a relationship with us. How can we do any less for Him? I'm going to actually continue this till next week, and I still got some more to do, but it's already time, so I'm just going to come back next week and finish it up. So let's close in prayer, and I just want to, if I could have the prayer team come forward. I just want you to grasp the overall thing here, and that is that, like I said earlier, we're not going to get closer to God because of time. We have to do something to make it happen. And it's not just going to happen easily. Somehow or other, we're going to have to make it happen. And to do that, we have to be forceful. And today we saw that the first area that we have to really be forceful in is dealing with ourself. We got to be hard on ourselves. I mean, we still can love ourselves, you know. We love ourselves as we love our neighbors. That's a commandment. But we do have to be tough on ourselves. That's where it starts, with ourself, dealing with this self. We need to see self as some is. Like one of two here. It's like we have this dual thing going on where we are spirit and self. You may have heard me say that we are not a body with a spirit inside. We are spirit with a temporary body on the outside. And we need to see the distinction. This self is fading and passing away. It's going to get buried, it's going to die and get buried, but the spirit within us, the true me, the true you, is going to live on and on and on for eternity. That's the one where everything that we're doing for that one, our spiritual self. This flesh thing wants to be pampered like you would not believe. And while it's being pampered, it's harming the spirit. It's hurting it. It's holding us back. And so we got to get a handle on this flesh. That's where this discipline comes in that I was talking about. The self-control. We get a handle on that. Then the spiritual side can begin to move forward. Right? All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank You, Lord God. We thank You that Your Word explains to us how we are spirit. Your Word explains to us that we have to deal with this flesh, and as Paul said, beat it basically into submission if that's what we have to do. So that we will live for You and not for the flesh. Lord, help us to see it clearly, and help us to begin to desire it, and help us to begin to walk in it more and more and more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.